We love to look at the Word of God and what it says about giving. Now, what I want to do is I want to read a couple of scriptures, but I want to start in Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25. This is the New Living Translation. Proverbs 11, it says, "Give freely and become more wealthy." Who wants to become more wealthy? I mean, it's okay. It's okay. The rest of you want to be poor? Well, give us your money because we want to be wealthy. No, I'm just the thing. Who wants more? I mean, come on, be honest. Who would want more? I mean, how could you? Well, I've just got enough. Well, no, just get more. I mean, we need to have an attitude. It's not greedy. If you're greedy, your heart's wrong. But you know, it's okay to have stuff. But listen to the. Here's the key. It says, "Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything." He says, "The generous will prosper." And those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And the key is, I want more because I want to continue to help more and more people. More and more people, and to preach the gospel. And I just thank God for your willingness to do that. And so many are so faithful week after week after month giving. Now look what it says here. This is 2 Corinthians 9:6, Amplified Bible. It says, "Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will reap sparingly and grudgingly." The Bible says, okay, don't give grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver, right? You're going to reap the same way. And this applies to every area of our lives, but certainly finances. So if we give grudgingly, you're going to reap sparingly and grudgingly. "And he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously with blessings." And here's the thing. If you give in a way that you're generous, and say, "I'm doing this to bless other people," hello, you're going to be blessed yourself. It's the way that you give. This works with money. It works with your attitude. Just try it sometime. You may like it. If you have a good attitude, if you have mercy and grace on people, how many know you're going to get mercy and grace back? If you're just frowning all the time and crabby, you're going to get frowning and crabby back all the time. All right? But with money, it works. So we give joyfully, not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And when we give that way, the Bible says that blessings will come upon us and we'll reap generously the same way that we give. Now, so many of you, you've been catching up, giving all summer. We go on vacation, stuff like that. Many of you are giving online, but we want to make aware of you that you can give online. It's really easy. All you got to do, if you want to give online, maybe you didn't come prepared tonight, go to our website. You go to donate. You can click right on that. You click there. It'll take you over to PayPal. You do not need an account. If you have a credit card, you can go. Now, don't use credit, all right? But if you have an ATM card, all right, we do not want you going in debt to give to the ministry. Do not do that. If you don't have the money, you give what you have or just joyfully come and worship, all right? But if you have an ATM card, you can go there. It will not cost you any extra. You just give. The church pays that service, all right? But if you want to give online, we just want to make that aware. Because sometimes we come and we weren't prepared to give. Maybe we want to go home. And we've seen that happen more and more. So I thought, you know, we're just going to let everybody know. I was talking to a friend of mine. He said, boy, that better than 30% of his church gives online. I thought, hey, you know what? We're just going to make sure everybody knows that you can do that. And it might be easier for you. You know, maybe a lot of people, I don't know about you, I pay all my bills online, every one of them. You do some right on your phone. How many know that? You just do it right there, so it's all right there. But we want to thank you for your generosity, sowing into the ministry. And so let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for an opportunity to give. Thank you, Lord God, that when we give generously, we reap generously. We don't give grudgingly tonight. We give joyfully. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, go ahead and pass those baskets around. And as they're doing that, we just want to remind you, this coming Friday night, Trish and I are opening up our home for an adult-only cookout. So we're asking you, yes. I think we've got 50 or 60 of you signed up already. So there won't be enough room in our pool for all of you. So we're not going to open a pool that night, but we'll have fun anyway. And so, yeah, there's no way. Not our pool. Ain't big enough. And so, but come over. It's going to be fun. Let's try now. Come over. We're gonna grill some food and boy, we'd love to have you. But sign up if you have not signed up for that. You can check out the information center, and we want to have you sign up and come on out. Adults only, 18 and over for this particular gathering. Our church picnic and water baptism is coming up Sunday, August the 11th. If you have not been water baptized since you've been a believer, sometimes people say, "Well, I was baptized as a child." And something has happened significant in their life since then where they become a believer. How many know the Bible says that you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth? Something happens as a transformation. Then if you want to be baptized again, you can. Listen, you can't be baptized too much. We do a good teaching on it when we baptize, so you understand you don't have to be baptized every time we do one. But you're not going to like, if I was baptized when I was a child, can I get baptized again? It'll help, all right? You'll be all right. It's not like the unpardonable sin to be baptized more than once. We have a marriage conference coming up. And listen, if you are married and you go to this church, you need to be at this conference. It is a simulcast by Jimmy Evans. How many know who Jimmy Evans is? Him and his wife are doing this. It's a great marriage today, a great ministry. Yeah, we're offering it for $25, and that just helps. We're going to have snacks and stuff and things like that. We're opening up to the whole community. We're going to advertise it on the radio real soon, and so you'll be hearing that. You can register online. You can go right to the website. On the front page, there's a banner there, the slides that rotate. You can click on that. It'll take you right where you can register online. You can pay online if you want to. You can register at the information center. You can pay in the offering, or you can pay that night. So, but register. We'd love to see you come. It is going to be great. It's a Friday night and a Saturday morning. That is August 9th and 10th. Rally camping. There's all kinds of things going on. I'm going to have to stop right there. But guys, we are going camping together, so sign up. We didn't do it last year because we were moving in this facility, and so it didn't work out real well for us. But we are going to go camping. And it's like, you know, John always reminds me, and I'm going to say it again, anyone can camp for one night. Isn't that right? 2 years ago we went, and do you know that bears snore? Did you know that? All right. They do. So I'm going to make sure I don't share a tent with no bears. All right. But, you know, come on out, and even if you're not a camper, it's okay. We're going to have fun, have food. We're going to camp together. Anybody can camp for a night. All right. So guys, sign up. It's going to be a great time to connect. Well, tonight we're going to continue our series titled Problems Are. Problems are all kinds of things, and most of the time we just think it's a problem, and we focus on the problem. And when you focus on the problem, you are not going to get the best results out of your problem. You got to understand that we were made to overcome problems. How many know that? We are made to overcome. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Now, a couple weeks ago, we started this series, and we talked about the fact that problems are reminders, obstacles, blessings, lessons everywhere, their messages, and most of all, they are what? Solvable. And you see all that right up there. But we're going to be talking about this probably over the next couple of weeks. We'll finish this up. But we got to realize life is full of problems. And since we're created to overcome our problems, we need to get the most out of our problem as we can. Come on, somebody. You do, because your problem right now is going to strengthen you for your next problem, or it's going to weaken you, and your next problem will overtake you. Hello, somebody. I mean, that is the facts. And so we just need to eat our problems like Wheaties. Come on, remember, you know, eat your Wheaties, all right? And so you and I need to realize that God can take our problem, and there's a purpose in our problem. If we face problems, we must direct our thought life. Listen carefully. Your thought life will dictate the outcome. That is spiritual warfare, all right? Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, you can read that. We've taught on that. It's just that you put on the armor of God. And we'll give you some more scriptures to go with that tonight. But listen, it's spiritual warfare. What you think going through your problem, when you face your problem, while you're in your problem, is going to determine the outcome and what you get. Really, there's character traits that God wants to help us in managing a problem. If you and I lose our perspective, we will believe the wrong thing. All right? If we lose perspective, we will believe the wrong thing. If we have the wrong priorities, we're going to do the wrong thing. Come on, somebody. You will. If your priorities are wrong, and we'll talk more about this tonight, if your priorities are wrong, you will do the wrong thing facing your problem. Does that make sense? All right? It'll make more sense by the end of the night. If you lose your path, you're going to live for the wrong things. So as you're facing your problem, it's important that we believe the right things, that we do the right things, and that we live for the right things. And if we get those in order, you and I are going to face our problem, and on the other end of it, we're going to be stronger, and what's going to happen is the gospel will get preached through our lives. And that's the ultimate goal. It's not only that we come out on top of our problem, but we're able to help somebody else and to preach the gospel through whatever problem we went through. And there's traits that God wants to develop, and this is what we're going to talk about tonight. I believe so many times we lose sight of the fact that we need to have passion, patience, peace, and persistence. Now, patience and persistence we talk about quite a bit, but tonight I'm going to probably spend more time on passion. We'll talk about all four of those. But listen, I want to stir you up tonight. If you are not passionate to serve God, you will not overcome your problem. You won't. It will not happen. If you are not passionate, and I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, if you're not passionate, and you got to fan that flame, hello, somebody, you got to fan that flame. All right? Now, we can encourage one another, and this weekend we're going to talk more about that in our Mission Possible series, where we're talking about the importance of the body of Christ. And we can certainly help each other, but listen, you have a responsibility to fan your flame so you can help somebody else fan theirs. All right? So you've got to fan your flame. You've got to be passionate. Because passion will tell you the way you should feel as you go through your problem. Romans 12:11. It says, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. That's the Amplified version. Listen, you can enjoy many things, but you can only be passionate about a few. Come on, somebody. You can enjoy a video game, but if you're more passionate about video games than you are serving the Lord, you go through a problem, your video game is only going to help you escape for a little bit. It will not help you overtake that problem. Come on, somebody. All right? No matter what it is. If you're passionate about the wrong thing, it is not going to help you. But if you're passionate about the right things, then you are going to be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Patience tells you how you should act when you're going through your problem. We've looked at this scripture before, but I love this scripture. James 1:4. It says, so let patience grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problems. Come on, somebody. I like the way it says it here in the Living Bible. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you'll be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. The truth is, God wants you and me complete. And we need persistence to see things through. Maturity is facing our problem head on, accepting responsibility, and then having determination to finish the race. So we need passion. We need patience. We need peace, because peace will tell us how we should think, the way we should think. Remember we said the way we act, the way we think? These things are important when we're facing our problem. Philippians 4:7. He says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we say, well, how do I get God's peace? Well, I'm going to help you tonight. I'm glad you asked that, because you need the peace of the Lord. And I didn't have this on the slides, but I think you can pull it up real easy. You're already in Philippians 4:7, Aaron. So I'm going to have you go to Philippians 4, and I'm going to read verse 6 right before that, and then I'm going to read 8 and 9. So Philippians 4, verse 6, he says this. Let me go into the New Living Translation. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. If you want to have peace, listen, everybody, eyes up here. You have got to pray about everything. You have to. If you're going to have the peace that supersedes all understanding, you have got to pray about everything, and you can't worry. And here's the thing. All of us know how to worry. Come on, somebody help me out. Who knows how to worry? All right? Come on. I got both hands up. All right? We know how to worry. So we already know how to meditate, and now you just need to take prayer as meditating on the right thing. Come on, somebody. I mean, prayer is communicating with God. We know that. But prayer is meditating on the right things. Because how many know what we do is we pray something that's God's word, and then what do we turn around and say something completely different, and we think something way different. And when we go to bed at night, all we think is, tomorrow morning, I am sure the sky is going to fall. Come on, not Chicken Little. All right. How many know what I'm talking about? So prayer and what we're thinking are so important. But he says, don't worry about anything. So instead of worrying, what we need to do to experience God's peace, which we just read in verse 7, now look at verse 8. He tells us what to think on. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I mean, no, Jesus is worthy of praise. You know, Brother Andy, I love what you shared there. You know, David knew that God was worthy of praise. If you're going to get the most out of your problem, you have got to be a person who praises God. In your storm, in your problem, whatever you're facing, you have got to be a person that praises God. And I know that's not always easy. But listen what he says in verse 9. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. I'm not kidding you. I mean, you know, here's the thing. And I don't have everything figured out, but God has called me to pastor this church. And I get, matter of fact, I missed you. Misty was, or Misty, are you still in here? I saw Misty a minute ago. But she put something on Facebook, and she said she could remember a word that I forgot. I mean, sometimes I make up words, all right? All right? And I made up a word a couple years ago. How many remember the word revelationship? Do you remember that? It's like, you know, you need a relationship and a revelation of who God is as a relationship, all right? But I love seeing that because I can, when I'm going through trials right now, I'll tell you, I can hear the voices of all my mentors saying, I can hear Pastor Duane saying, we do not get discouraged. I can hear this over and over. I mean, I hear, it's like he is right there. So the Bible says, remember all the things you've been taught, all the things you've been heard. It's okay if you're going through a trial, pull out your notes that you took in church. Oh, you didn't take notes. Yikes. Okay, I'll just leave it there. This stuff helps us. It will help us to overcome. You want to know what to think on? Think on these things. Think on the things that are lovely, that are good, that are a good report, that are pure, that are awesome, that are praiseworthy. Thinking on the words of God. And if you and I do that, we are going to have the peace of God, which supersedes understanding. Because listen, the word of God, it doesn't matter if you can understand the problem you're going through. If the word of God says something other than what it is you're facing, then you need to believe God's word, and you're going to see that come to pass. Because God's word, it says in Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. For even as the heavens are high above the earth, so my ways are beyond your ways. And past, say past, finding out. But aren't you glad he reveals it by his spirit? And that's what the Bible goes on and tells us. So his ways are way beyond. Way, did I say way? Way beyond. And so whatever we face, and it's work sometimes, but listen, that's why it's so important to take notes. That's why it's so important to have a library. That's why it's so important to listen to things, to have MP3 teachings. I mean, there are so many things out there, but you need to be thinking on, meditating, and you know, sometimes I feel like a broken record, but listen, this stuff works. Get a Bible reading plan. Get one of those little books we've got out there that says, In Him. They're free. Just grab one. It's all these scriptures on In Him, who you are in Christ. And when you face your problem and you start to meditate on who you are in Christ, you are going to get a whole lot more better result out of that problem than if you start to just look at your little old self. Okay? Come on, somebody. Right? And this is how we get God's peace. So patience. Passion tells me how I should feel. Patience tells me how I should act. Peace tells me how I should think. And persistence will tell me how I should grow. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. This is really where it's important that you're not passionate about the right, wrong things. All right? You need to lay aside some things. It's good to just get away from everything you're so comfortable with. You know, fasting, prayer. He says, so we can run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, he says, looking into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the thing is, the question tonight that we have to answer is, am I sold out to my purpose? Am I passionate for the purpose of God? And what's going to help you a ton in your problem is to make sure that you're committed to the will of God for your life. Now, the specific will, God's going to reveal that to you, but our general will, and we know this because we talk about it, is that you were made a disciple. You're a disciple to go and make disciples. You're a disciple to live your life out and to preach the gospel with every fiber of your being, even using words if you need to. Come on, somebody. And if you're sold out to that, you're going to see your problem and say, okay, here is an opportunity for me to have great joy, to endure this thing. And you know what? You could take a person that you can't stand, and God's going to help you to love them, and you may lead them to the Lord, right? I mean, that's what's going to happen if we're passionate about the right things. Because if you're passionate about the right things, even if you get off track a little bit, you've got an anchor, so to speak. You can get yourself, you've got a compass. You've got that direct north. You can get back on track when you're passionate about the right things. You know when to lay aside weights and what those weights are that are keeping you from pursuing that thing that is the proper thing to be passionate about, which is being a disciple, keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ, and submit to the call of God. See, the thing is, when your vision from God of what He wants for your life becomes your passion, He will help you to see clearly through to the end. That's why it's so important to draw near to God. That's why it's so important to say, God, what is it you have for my life? In the life that I have, the job I work in now, the relationships I have, the neighborhood I live in, here in Traverse City, in the community I live in, what is your purpose for me? And when you start to ask, God will tell you. I'm going to warn you. If you pray like that, God will start to show you, and your whole life will start to look different, and you never even left Mayberry. or Mayfield. It's the truth. Where did Dorothy come from? What was it? Kansas. Is Kansas? Yeah. You can go to the land of Oz and never leave your bedroom. Okay. Well. But your circumstances may not change. Your environment may not change, but your attitude is going to be different. Does that make sense? But you got to focus on the right thing. You got to be passionate about the right thing. We just saw here how we need to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and how he endured the cross, despising the shame, how he had joy looking beyond that, knowing that God was going to do something great, because God wants to use your life for greatness. But we're to look to him as our example. And so Jesus fixed his eyes on the prize, so to speak, and submitted to the work of God, Father God, in his life. Remember when he prayed that night? He said, Lord, let this cup depart from me. In the garden when he was betrayed, let this cup depart from me, but if not, then I submit to your will. Not my will, but your will be done. And that's our example. It says this in Hebrews 5:8, though he, Jesus, was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Sometimes people read that and they say, obedience? Jesus never sinned. No, the word, just say submission. Obedience there means submission. He learned submission. Because he submitted just like what I said. Not my will, but your will be done. Your will be done. And so whatever you're facing, whatever problem you may be facing, if you're passionate about the right things and you're submitted to the will of God, if you know God's will for your life, and you can, right? Find out. You're to be a disciple, to let your light shine. Start there and he'll just start to unravel it from there. If you're passionate about those right things, then you'll submit to God's will and say, no matter what I'm facing right now, Lord, I know that the gospel is going to be preached. I mean, you can look at Paul the Apostle, and we've done that. He's in prison. He says, everything that's happened to me has worked out for furthering the gospel. In all the things, in all my chains, he says, in all my sufferings, the gospel was preached. So much so that he says he even preached it to the whole palace guard. All of those who were guarding him in prison came to know the Lord. Well, at least they came to know about him. I don't know that they all submitted to that because everyone has a choice. But he used every opportunity that the gospel would be preached. Passion will help you and I to handle the pressures in life. Let's read this here a minute. Acts 20. This will show you what passion will do. It'll change your whole outlook. Acts 20, verse 22. And now I am going to Jerusalem, drawn there irresistibly by the Holy Spirit. Oh, do you know his voice? Not knowing what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit has told me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. Wow. I love stuff like this. He says, but life is worth nothing unless I use it, here's a key, for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about God's mighty kindness and love. And you thought I just said this stuff. So Paul said, he said, the Holy Spirit hasn't shown me anything about his will for my life except I'm going to suffer. So I'm going so the gospel can be preached. Do you see, when you're passionate about the right things, your problem, it's like, okay, it ain't even a problem. Because I know that God will deliver me. It's like Paul the Apostle said, I know in whom I'm believed, and I'm persuaded that he is going to do all that I've committed to him until that day. And when you live this way, you can say things like that. You may not feel like it when you first face it, but you encourage yourself in the Lord. Come on, somebody. And you start to look at those scriptures that you've written down, if you have. You need life scriptures. The Word of God, you got to gobble it up. You can't get enough of it. Don't allow your passion for the Word of God to wane. Don't. Stir yourself up. Get another version if you need to, another translation. Get somebody to hold you responsible and accountable. Get into a small group, relate group. We'll be talking more about that towards the close of summer. We're going to have over 10 different opportunities for you to get into a relate group of some kind this fall. And we're going to talk about how much fun that is and how your life can change. We got some things planned we're going to show you. But the question tonight is, would you even know? Listen, this is just questions. Would you even know if the Holy Spirit was drawing you to an area that promised hardship? If the Lord was drawing you in a way and you knew hardship was coming, could you go there because you knew the voice of the Lord and you were confident no matter what you were going to face, no matter what he was taking you through, that the gospel was going to get preached? That's the kind of tenacity and passion that he wants in us. The attitude that Paul had. He said, my life is worthless unless it's being spent for God's glory. Unless it's being spent for God's glory. Let me do something here. I want to, I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit, Aaron. Because I want to talk about this passion a little bit more, and then next week we'll get into patience and peace and persistence and maybe some of those a little bit more. I'm going to go ahead. On page 5 of my notes, you'll see 2 Corinthians 4:16. I'm going to go there, and we're going to read a couple scriptures. I want to continue to talk about passion. When you live with passion, your problem becomes an opportunity for blessings. When you live with passion, your problem becomes an opportunity for blessings. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Amplified Bible. Therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. Anybody ever been there? Come on. It says, though our outward man is progressively decaying. If you don't believe that, look in the mirror. All right. You women, you love it when I say stuff like that, don't you? See, men, just that's just the way it is, man. Just it's that old man coming out. Okay. Decaying and wasting away. Yet your inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. Even though your outward man is perishing, listen, we get a new body. How many? I just love that. I thank you, Jesus. All right? It's kind of like this. Trish and I were talking about this the other day. We were driving somewhere and saying, you know, you can't get too wrapped up in this old car. Because this old car, you may think it's a classic, but it's getting rusty. And you're going to get a brand new one. Come on. Because all this is a suit. All this isn't something to drive around. You realize that, right? The real you is going to step out. It's like, and out we come. All right? Hallelujah. But in the trial, you and I need to allow the Spirit of God to renew our inner man so we'll be strong and full of peace. See, your problem is no longer going to be the focus of your life. The kingdom of God is released. When you live this way and realize whatever I'm going through right now is temporary, but God's working in me to will and to do his good pleasure, or giving me the desire and the power to do the things that please him, the kingdom of heaven will be released in your life. And not only is that going to sustain you, people around you are going to come to Christ. And we share testimony after testimony, and we'll keep sharing testimonies of how that works and how that pans out. Your focus makes a big difference. I'll show you how important your focus is. Luke 24:17. This is Jesus comes across two disciples. This is after Jesus has died. He's rose from the dead, and he's appearing to some of his disciples. Verse 17, it says, and he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you are having with one another as you walk and you're sad? Remember, Jesus was just died, and they're just moping, all right? They are moping. Then the one whose name was Clopas answered, and he said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happen there these days? And he said to him, what things? Jesus is just so cool. He's like, what you talking about, man? What things? Tell me. I mean, he's just trying to get it out of you. Tonight, Jesus is saying, what things? What things? Why so sad? Why so mopey? Have you forgotten? They had forgotten the prophecy. They had forgotten the resurrection. Jesus said, on the third day, I will rise. He told them that. And they forgot. So much so that they were all worried. They thought, well, someone's taken his body. It's gone. They forgot right then. They forgot. Someone took it. So he starts appearing to them. Verse 25. And he said to them, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. See, you need to know the word. Come on, somebody. He's saying, you fools, because you haven't believed what was written in the scriptures. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and not to enter into his glory? And beginning in Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And he started to show him, this is me right here. This is me right here. Well, he hadn't revealed himself yet, but he's saying, this is the prophecy. This is where it says that the Messiah would rise from the dead. And this is what it said he would do here. And this is what, and they just started showing him through and started throwing him and started showing him. Verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scripture to us? So see what happens is Jesus starts to show him. And pretty soon, you can read it for yourself. They see it is Jesus. And as soon as they see that it's Jesus, he's gone. Let me just say this tonight. You think that if Jesus was standing here in the flesh walking through your problem with you, that your problem would be a lot easier. You are mistaken. You don't need Jesus standing next to you. You need the Holy Spirit on the inside, and you need to remember the things that you've been taught, the things that you've read, and the prophecies that have been spoken. Because those are more important. Jesus, remember he said this. He said, it is more beneficial for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, I can't send the Holy Spirit. Jesus walked in the flesh just like you and me. Jesus the Son is a person. Come on, Jesus the Son cannot be many places at once. He can only be one place. And right now he's seated in heavenly places at the right hand of Father God. Hello. And Holy Spirit has come to minister to us and to lead us and to guide us and to encourage us. But if we don't pull on that gift, we could be mopey. We could be sad, just like they were. Passion. Say passion. Revelation 3:15, he says, I know your works, that you're neither cold or hot. I wish you were cold or hot. See, lukewarm living, and we've talked about this before, emphasizes your problem. Come on, somebody. Let this speak to you tonight. Lukewarm living will emphasize your problem. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know? Because I've done it recently. Thank God for friends in my life. You say, what's wrong with you? Sorry. I forgot who I was, and I really forgot who he was. Passionate living emphasizes our purpose. Again, lukewarm living emphasizes our problem. So if you're emphasizing your problem, might be lukewarm. Come on. But passionate living emphasizes our purpose. In all these things, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, who gave his life for me. In what things? The things you're facing. All right? What kind of fruit are you bearing? I want to turn... And I mentioned this in my notes, but I didn't have it on the overhead. So I'm going to have you turn to 2 Kings, Aaron, chapter 13. You enjoying this tonight? 2 Kings 13. This is a New Living Translation. 2 Kings 13. And don't turn there quite yet. I want to kind of take you up to what's going on here. How many know who Elisha was? Elisha. Elisha came after Elijah. He saw Elijah taken up in a whirlwind. Elisha came, got a double portion. Are you with me? All right? He went, and Elisha worked miracles, raised people from the dead. I mean, he really did. He did the same miracles Jesus did, pretty much. The only thing he couldn't do is rise from the dead for our justification, because only Jesus could do that. But it was incredible. Elisha was a powerful, powerful prophet, all right? And so he's lived his life. And now it's time for him to die, because how many know this wears out, all right? And he goes to the king that was the king in those days. And let's read this together, starting in verse 14. And when Elisha was in his last illness, in New King James it says the sickness that would take his life, it says, King Jehoash of Israel visited him and wept over him. My father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel. He cried, and Elisha told him, get a bow and some arrows. I love this because, look, this is very similar to what we just read. The disciples are moping. The king is moping because Elisha comes and says, I'm going to die. And he's like, oh, my father. See, we always put our trust in somebody else. Now, we need mentors. We need each other. We can encourage one another. One of the things we're going to find out heading into this weekend is you and I are really called to help teach each other. We are, each other. Many of you teach me. I learn all the time. How many parents do I have? How many parents? Did you ever learn from your kids? There's my example. We all help each other, all right? You got to realize that, okay? So we need each other. We need mentors. We need teachers. But there's a time you got to get past that. All right. Doesn't mean you don't need the body of Christ, because some people say, well, you know, we're just going to have church in our house and we don't need to go to a church anywhere else. Well, listen, you need church in your house and you should be part of a small group, but you need to gather corporately, and there should be a time that we worship together in a larger group of what God is doing in our local church. That's all those, you have all those parts the Bible talks about, and we need them, and that's why we're teaching on that. But what happens is, not only do we need teachers, we need to realize that we, at some point, if you're going to get victory in your life, you've got to get past what you've known. And this is where this king really is being brought, because what Elisha says is, go get a bow and some arrows. And the king did as he was told, and Elisha told him, put your hand on the bow. And Elisha laid his own hands on the king's hands. Then he commanded, open the eastern window, and he opened it. Then he said, shoot. So he shot an arrow. Elisha proclaimed, this is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over Aram, that you will completely conquer the Arameans of Aphek. Then he said, now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground. So the king picked up and he struck the ground three times. I want you to remember that. But the man of God was angry with him. He said, you should have struck the ground five or six times, he exclaimed. Then you would have beaten Aram until it was entirely destroyed. Now you will only be victorious three times. I'm going to encourage you tonight, stir up your passion. See, Elisha told him, well, because you only did three times, you're only going to get this much victory. And the king knew, the king really should have known in those times, it would have taken more than just three times to beat them. He would have known. Strategically, he should have known. But the problem was, he was like, my father, what am I going to do? I'll just... Maybe you're here tonight and maybe you've just but you know what you should be doing? Come on, somebody. Come on. Beat those arrows. Come on, somebody help me out. My hand's getting tired. Help me out. Come on. You need to stir your passion up. You got to stir yourself up. If you want to be victorious over what you're facing, you got to stir your passion up. You need to take more time in the Word of God. You need to take more time with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You need to take more time in prayer. You need to take more time encouraging yourself. You need to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and say, I am not going to pout anymore. I am going to be victorious. I am going to have that victory. And I don't care what the checkbook says. I don't care what the doctor's report says. I don't care what so-and-so says, because so-and-so is just so-and-so anyway. I'm going to listen to what Jesus says. I'm going to listen to what God's word says. And I'm going to stir myself up. And I'm going to defeat the enemy. And I'm going to beat 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 the enemy. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who gave his life for us. Come on, stand up this morning or this evening. Stand up. I want you to stand up with me. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want everybody just to repeat after me. I'm going to lead us in a confession tonight. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the head. I'm not the tail. I'm above. I am not beneath. The devil is under my feet. Now I want you to stomp on him. Yeah! Come on, somebody. I can do all that God says I can do. I can be all that God says I can be. I can go any place God tells me I can go. And I can tell others to go. No, I can't. Okay, I had you there. But you know that, say this, I have been created for a purpose. And that purpose is to lead others into the presence of God. Come on, somebody shout to God tonight. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. All right, go ahead and sit down. One quick moment. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never made Him the Lord of your life and you want to become a disciple tonight, we want to pray for you. What does that mean? Well, it means a few things, but the most important that I can tell you tonight, it means that you're going to spend eternity with Him in heaven. The Bible says that old things pass away and all things become new. Maybe you prayed a prayer like this when you were younger, but tonight you're like, you know what? I haven't been serving God. You can pray this again and come back and say, Lord, I need to serve you. Because see, here's what Jesus did. He called disciples and He said, follow me. Now, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus tonight, God's got the greatest life you could possibly imagine. But He wants to take your life and transform it. He wants to lead you, guide you, use you to reach people in your sphere of influence and lead them into the kingdom. If you're here tonight and say, Pastor, I want to know where I'm going to spend eternity. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to make Him Lord of my life and serve Him. If that's you tonight, on the count of three, let me see your hands. One, two, three. Quick, lift them up. Say, pray for me, Pastor. Is that a hand back there? Just leave it up. You should... I thought I saw a hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Young lady, I am so proud of you up here. There's one, two, I think. Yep, right down here. There's two of them. I see two hands up here. Now here, just leave your hands up for a moment up front here. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. We're all going to repeat this. But those of you who lifted your hands up, first of all, I want to commend you for your boldness. That's the best decision you ever made. Your life is going to change. Woo! I remember when I did this. So exciting. Your past is going to be gone. You're going to be new on your way to heaven. But now Jesus wants to take your life and transform it so that you can start to tell other people about the hope that is in you now. Are you ready to do that? All right, let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin because I'm a sinner. I make you Lord of my life. Thank you for your sacrifice. I give you my life, and I say, use it for your glory. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for you the rest of my days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's rejoice tonight. That's awesome. Woo! Glory to God. I'm so proud of you. Your life will never, ever be the same again. I guarantee you. It's good news. All right. Some more announcements are going to come on the screens here in just a moment. Trish and I would love to see you back by those doors. But get involved in the life of the church. Sign up to come out to our house this weekend. Love to have you. We love you all. God bless you.
Strip everything.